Well, basically, Miriam, it was just as a result of five young students had died by suicide from January, or from September to January 2006-2007. And out of response of that, particularly of the death of one young girl, we decided to set up a campaign to alert students on the campus to all the support services available on the campus so that people could access these services. And we set up that website to create an umbrella group for all the services so that people, on just by getting on that website in two clicks, they can access whatever service they need.
And where did the expression "please talk" come from?
Basically, myself and some staff coming back from Derry from the funeral of a young student called Carla Ward, who had taken her own life, we were wondering, what could we have done? What could we have said to her that might have helped her to see things differently? And we just thought we'd like to have said to her, please talk. Whatever it is, please talk about it. And that's why we came up with that "please talk" campaign, and those two words to stick kind of in people's heads, you know, please talk.
And does it make a difference? You know, I mean, if you have a problem, even talking about it, is that going to help it go away? Because your problem's still going to be there.
Well, your problem will still be there. But I think by talking about it, you get a different perspective. Because I think when you talk to somebody else, the problem then is between yourself and that other person in a kind of a way that you're trying to figure it out. Just by not talking to someone, though, you talk to yourself in your own head. And that's a cyclical thing. And you don't never seem to get out of it. It stays within you. Talk, though, and you let it out. And hopefully the other person is discerning enough to offer you a different perspective to what they've heard. And I think that does free people from the problem. And maybe the problem won't go away, but they'll definitely have a new perspective on it to help them move forward.
And January, I imagine after Christmas, it must be a time when people really take stock of their lives and come back with, you know, maybe a bit of disillusionment or disheartenment. I mean, is January a month when you get a lot of people coming into you?
It is. There's two things about January. Maureen Gaffney, the psychiatrist or psychologist, was talking recently about what's happening in January is basically people are coming back in the gloom of a dark time, and they're after a time of celebration and high celebration. And then maybe their spirit is down a bit because they're coming back into a routine. They've been out of routine. So it's a bit more difficult for them at that stage. All right.
Does alcohol have anything to do with the problem, you know, as well around Christmas? It's a time of excess and people are over drinking and overindulging. I mean, how does that affect people?
Well, definitely, because alcohol, as we know, is a depressant. And I think when a lot of people are starting to reflect on things that are happening when they're a bit more free over Christmas, maybe they do start analysing their lives or difficulties they've had. Because they've been drinking, they tend to see them in a more gloomy way than they would have if they're not drinking. And definitely, their statistics are clear that sometimes people who are not even prone to depression will develop depression out of consistent drinking, and especially binge drinking. And definitely then they find themselves in a situation that's new and can become a bit of a crisis for them that they've never experienced before, and they tend to feel really bad about themselves. And then what I'd say to somebody is, look for help. You know, definitely watch what you're drinking and the quantity you're drinking, but look for help when you feel in that way.
And yet, isn't it ironic that this, you know, this is a time when we're told we're the best off that we've ever been historically. Before we had people emigrating, now young people can stay in Ireland. And yet there's more depression and suicide than there ever was before.
Yeah, it is great that this is a time of plenty, and that's a great thing for the country, and no one wants to go back to the past when people had nothing. But there's another side to that too, is that it's when you have plenty or when you have too much, what do you strive for? What are the goals that you can set yourself if you have everything you need or you feel you have everything you need? And then for a lot of people, that creates a kind of an emptiness. What do I strive for and what am I about? And that throws up difficulty for people, because it seems clear that in other societies where people have got very wealthy, they do have problems with mental health. So there must be some correlation between a time of plenty and suicide and mental health.
And so what would you say to somebody now who is listening and felt that they were going through difficulties?
I'd say that, first of all, that if you are going through difficulties, don't panic, because there is help available. I'd suggest that they go and talk to somebody. Try and share whatever it is with somebody else, because they will get this different perspective. If they can't talk to a family member or a friend, and maybe that is too close for some people, go and get some professional help. If you're in a university, third level place, there are people that will give you help. If not, try and find it wherever you live. that there is somebody else you can talk to outside your immediate family if you can't talk within your family. But most people will understand that their families are much more caring than they'll understand, especially if they feel they're in some sort of difficulty.